listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr.
Good Vicky evening Hunter. And welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 21st. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. We're going to have keep it a little loose. We're going to have a fun conversation, but we're going to center around time travel and the metaphysics of time travel. And, it's safe to say that we're going to be able to, once and for all, definitively answer any question you might possibly have about time travel. I have put dozens of minutes into research into this topic, and I'm ready to go.
Well, I did too. I even watched The Time Machine by H.G. Wells.
That's
the,
a classic.
It was the 2002 movie. I watched it the other night, and I thought, this is really bonkers, but it was fun. You know, it was a fun movie. Going in the future 800,000 years was corny. I mean, if he'd have gone in the future, I don't know, a couple of thousand years, mm-hmm. I could maybe buy it. But, yeah, it went a little overboard to me. But, you know, H.G. Wells, and there's a whole number of authors who write sci-fi. And I know we've talked about this in previous programs, but just touching on it, but a lot of authors claim to have been able to in their consciousness time travel, and claiming they physically were there. But I think if you're there in your consciousness, you believe you're there, if that makes sense. So, but let me, you know, I
well, it's kind of a different notion of, you know, astral projection, but into a different time. Yeah. Wouldn't that most often be into the future to see something like the classical idea of a prophecy?
Sure, and you know it's kind of right along with astral projection, you know, as well as future viewing, past viewing. But I think that's again in consciousness. That's just the consciousness. Some people want to say it connects to the Akashic records. Some mm-hmm. people say it's just that, quantum energy kind of, and again, that's energy, which is quite different than the organics of time travel. Stephen Hawking, once said that it wasn't necessarily physically impossible. but that he had experimental evidence that time travel is not possible. So I know it's kind of a paradox, but scientifically, there's no evidence to say that we can time travel organically. Mm-hmm. That kind of has to be the ground. I think the ground rules of this discussion have to go there first. Mind you, science, this is really interesting to me. I'm just going to read a little quote. Can wormholes lead to time travel? So not a bonkers question, because we know wormholes exist. And there's been some recent, science on that too. But there was a wormhole that just devoured a star. Really fascinating stuff, if anybody wants to look it up. But the answer here is wormholes may not only connect two separate regions within the universe, they could also connect two different universes. Similarly, some scientists have conjectured that if one mouth of a wormhole is moved in a specific manner, it could allow for time travel. Now, I know that sounds kind of way out there, but maybe it's not way out there. Many years ago I had heard a theory that some extraterrestrial or intergalactic travel of aliens was them returning to the past. So they are us in the future. They're returning to the past to kind of edge us along and kind of help us navigate our life.
It's
possible.
Think of it almost like archaeologists and anthropologists that are studying, a much earlier version of ourselves. But,
yeah.
It's...
ants in an anthill.
Well, and it, and we can just, have fun with this topic, because there is
sure.
no definitive science on it. I mean,
that's right.
Obviously, to the best of the of our current knowledge, traveling back in time is not possible that we know of. Of course, we can travel forward in time. We understand that everything is relative when it comes to time and space, and the faster you go approaching the speed of light, you will begin to experience time much more time will pass outside of the theoretical spacecraft than inside it, so you could travel forward in time that way. Hypothetically, people could be cryogenically frozen, put into suspended animation, go into the future that way. Those are within the realm of possibility, even if it's only science fiction right now. But it's an interesting concept, and then you have to deal with the different, paradox elements, and you have to consider, going back in time, can you actually change anything? You mentioned the time machine, and if I recall that story correctly, he found that no matter what he did, he could never change the past, because it would prevent him from
being driven to create
the machine.
When he tried to go back, that's what prompted him to make the machine in the first place. He wanted to go back and prevent his fiance from being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he did go back, she got killed anyway by another source. So he realized that every version of those events would result in the same. So, then he started messing around, and we all know how that goes. So in one reality, as cause and effect, action, reaction, we have this natural law of occurrences. But, we go beyond that, just the earth law and natural law. We go into this other multidimensional law. And again, I think that's when we have to take it to other dimensions of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Stephen has mentioned in the chat that time is a construct, and yes, but we have a construction of the moon going around the earth going around the sun, and there's different measurements of there's mathematical measurements, so we do have this kind of time that does exist, and you know, the seasons and so on. So we mm-hmm. do live in that three-dimensional time notion. And there's no escaping that. Trust me, I got a birthday coming up, and I know all about time. So, but in the matters of consciousness, I think that's where we get. It's to me the most fascinating, because I don't have a brain for, you know, physically, you know, being in the Marvel characters going to the past and the future, and you know, Thor coming down with his hammer and whisping through all the planets. But I do have a grasp on how we have the ability to move our consciousness. But if I can just say, one of the things, you know, in researching this topic tonight was about how reviewing the past is a measure of self-healing. So our brains are always computing all elements. We got millions of pieces of data being computed at one time, but we only consciously remember what's needed in the moment. So if you do, let's say, a meditation or use hypnosis, you can take the consciousness back and retrieve more information that you weren't even aware you knew. Mm-hmm. But it's all stored in there like a computer. So is that a form of time travel? I think so. You know, I think that is, well, I'm going to look at that scenario from a completely different perspective. Therefore, I'm traveling back in time, you know, and what is, of course, projection, but creating a future. So, you know, you visualize a future, and we may not know entirely how we get there or, you know, how that's entirely going to manifest, because when we project for thoughts, we generally only have like one thought about it. We're not looking at all the elements around it, no different than when us living in this present moment, only consciously thinking a minimal amount of data that's meanwhile being computed. Does that make sense? Like we're only ever grasping these small bits.
Right. And, you know, right now we just don't have the context or the ability to understand, you know, the quantum mechanics that must go into something like that. And when you deal with time travel, you're not just talking about time in itself. You're talking about time and space, which are, of course, interlinked. So even if you were to go back in time, we're also talking about, and this is just, again, thought experiment, we're talking about having to travel back through space, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands of light years to where the sun and Earth were previously at 1,000, 2,000, 500,000 years ago, or into the future even. It, it just depends on, how you look at it. And of course, then, you know, that comes into the multiverse theory as well. You could tie that into, because if you can go back in time, and this is again just hypothetical thought experiment, having some fun, we go back in time, you change something and it launches off a new branch, an alternate timeline, a new dimension, you know, reality, which would kind of play into the multiverse idea where every eventuality will happen. And then, of course, there's the idea that, you know, time is, well, and we kind of touched on this, and I think it was in chat, that time is a relative kind of construct to us. There's the, and I wish I had watched this video before I started the broadcast, but it was an interesting video talking about how the time-space kind of continuum works, where if, because of how speed and the rate at which you travel directly affects how much time passes for you in your perception of time, it, hypothetically, if you have a planet on the other side of our galaxy with intelligent life on it, if that, you have a hypothetical alien planet, let's put in a little alien person, he starts walking in one direction that would be away from our planet, just happens to be, then in the space of that alien walking, he would be traversing through hundreds of years of our history because of the spatial difference, the speeds at which we're traveling, and the way that time passes faster if you're going faster. Whereas if he were to change direction and start walking towards the Earth, he would be going back in time from our perspective. And this is a fascinating video. I'll have to find the link and maybe we can post it up somewhere. But it was actually something that my father shared with me, and it was interesting, I think, from maybe BBC or Discovery or something like that, but it was a documentary, and it was just a fascinating concept of how time might just be something that is maybe only seen from our perspective because we're traveling through it in the moment. Maybe if you could step out, you could see kind of the entirety of it at once. And that's kind of, I think, what the Akashic Record may be as well. A big part of it, of course. So, you know, I think, to get back to the age-old question, what's the, you know, right theory of time travel? Is it Back to the Future? Is it Star Trek? Is it the Avengers? Who knows?
But, Wendy said, you know, in the chat, there have been a lot of people claiming to time travel from the future into the now, and given events of things that are happening now, and is that a coincidence? Well, I don't know. This is where, again, where Michael, you had said about space, time, space. Is it possible in projections, like holographic projections, to go future, past? Maybe. It, just like it is teleporting. You know, it's all absolutely possible. I don't dismiss anything, but I think that we have to just be careful that we don't go off into foo-foo land, you know, and trying to be as sensible as possible, but allowing our imaginations and our consciousness to expand in the possibilities, because that's what, you know, that's our inspiration, right, for and our curiosity. So I think that although there are so many angles to this, perception is absolutely the number one critical factor. Mm-hmm. As even reality is subjective, you know.
Well, and that's
wherever you live, whatever kind of neighborhood you live in, however you've been raised, that's your reality. It's a perception, and it may or may not be true, but it's true to you. So, based on some experiences, I've met people. Honestly, I say, "Oh my, you're from the future." And, you know, I can really feel that. But does that mean their consciousness, like they've lived in the future and this incarnation is now, and they come with the memory of the future they see in that space travel or accessing the Akashic records? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Wong has just mentioned that scientists in China were successful in the teleportation of a few atoms. I read that. Fascinating. So, I mean, that beam me up, Scotty, isn't so far off. I know. We always mention Star Trek, don't we?
But, it's fun too.
I love it. You
know. It speaking of teleporting, you know, the concept is, you know, you in Star Trek, when they transport or beam you up, they break your entire being into molecules, into a digital stream, and then that zaps you from one point to another. And one way of looking at it, doesn't that essentially just kind of kill you and then reclone you back at another destination each time?
And then how does that take your consciousness? So you're talking organic matter. Mm-hmm. Then how does your consciousness travel with that organic matter? That poses the other question to me. So atoms, do they have a consciousness in some form? Does that go with it? Like cloning, for instance, you know, they started cloning sheep and other animals, and now they're messing around with, you know, dead things that have been under ice for like thousands of years, and DNA and cloning it.
They've never seen Jurassic Park.
Is there consciousness to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what kind of consciousness comes with that? That's, as a metaphysician, that's what fascinates me.
Well, and yeah, that's kind of the one of the things we were talking about earlier, and I had meant to touch on, was the perception of time. And when we talk about the metaphysics of time travel, you know, we'd like to have thought experiments into exploring the boundaries of what our reality might be. But metaphysics is also about understanding the human consciousness and awareness. And is there not something interesting and odd to the fact that the older you get, the faster that time goes by? And it's all about perception. You know, the rate of time going is not any faster than it was. But I will tell you, I swear, that the seconds go around on my watch a lot faster than they used to when I was a kid. I could watch that clock and it would take forever from the 1 second to the next.
I don't, hey, don't I know it? Yeah, the older you get, the faster time goes. I think that when you're very young, you know, I think when you're a kid, there's like Saturday to play with your friends is like forever away, yeah. Right? Or you get to high school and 2 weeks till the school dance is like forever. And then I think in your 20s, your brain is just so busy with creating and it's full. So time starts to feel like it's leveling out. Mm-hmm. You get into your 30s, 40s, it seems to go by, well, where did the last 10 years go? You know, and then before you know it, you're 65. You say, I have no idea where 30 years went. You know, I know I was there, but so, I mean, it's so in a sense, that's time traveling, right? And through our consciousness and the different perceptions. So I'm right with you, Michael. I totally agree that time is, it's not changed, like the clock hasn't changed, the seasons haven't changed. It's just our perceptions of those things change. So, again, there's many questions in the chat. Dr. Edward saying quantum entanglement, perhaps? Sure. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stephen is saying these things reveal that astral projection is outside our three-dimensional universe, next level of consciousness up. So, I mean, we start to entertain many different ideas, and to me that's exciting that we even think of these things. You know, that we are entertaining our minds with that possibility. Because, trust me, 30 years ago, the internet and the way computers are was way out of my realm. And yet, here we are. And now we're into, you know, you carry your phone with you. I really miss the days where Sunday night I could return all the phone calls from the messages, you know. Or you couldn't get a hold of anybody through the week. You'd have to wait till Sunday when they were likely home and somebody might answer. You know.
Well, and how funny is it that these days everybody has a phone on them at all times, but it's become kind of social etiquette that, you know, if you call somebody out of the blue, it's how dare you call me without even texting me first. You didn't even see if I was taking calls right now. Nobody wants to talk on the phone anymore. Everything is, you know, texting and, you know, sometimes, you know, video chat and stuff like that. But
I just said that to somebody the other day. I did.
As one of my favorite comedians, Gary Goldman, once said, he said that for now the phone is just this seldom used app on his phone.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses it for everything else, but it's, you know, it's just interesting to think about the concept of time, about how much things have changed in that span. And
it sure has.
You know,
so we don't know where we're going to be in 20 years. I mean, they're going to Mars. They're putting space stations on the moon. You know, beats me. Anything's possible at this point.
Yeah.
Dr. Edwards says National Geographic produced a documentary on time travel. And he said there's a trailer on YouTube for it. So, of course, we can't necessarily, people listening in the archives can't tell you what that is. But anybody in the chat, Dr. Edward has kindly put that link in, so we can check that out. And thanks for that, everybody. It's Dr. Stevens says cell phone service on the moon soon.
If not already, you know, we already have those bases there. They just don't tell us about them because it's the lizard people.
Exactly.
But well, and I'm pretty sure 5G also gave everybody coronavirus. That's been floating around there too.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. Just don't think.
And that's the interesting thing. We do have to be careful, and this is where I like to, although in my life, I don't know why, I always didn't question whether or not there was other life forms in the universe. I never questioned. I thought everybody was psychic. I thought everybody could predict the future. Mm-hmm. I quickly learned that wasn't true. But I still like to know how it works. I want to know how that gets created or what the links are. You know, I like to connect the dots, and that's why I find that science is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we get to know more, time travel might be one of those things. It's going to take a while. But I don't think that time travel with consciousness is too foreign to a lot of people. I think that we can generally say that even if it's within this lifetime, maybe not other lifetimes, but certainly there's evidence to say even through using hypnosis that you can, in your mind, go to the past and in your mind, go to the future, potentially.
Well, I'm glad you touched on that, because there were a couple of things I wanted to try to squeeze in before we run out of time. And one is one of my favorite things to bring up every now and again, because I always think it's an interesting thought. That is the concept of reincarnating into the past. And we've talked about this before. It's such a fascinating idea that if, you know, in 2020, something were to happen and you pass away, and God knows there's enough things going on in 2020 that it might happen, but you reincarnate back into the year 500. Oh, that would be rough. How much would you miss the year 2020 if you were living in 500 CE?
Toilets.
Showers. Netflix. Yeah. You know, I'm happy watching medieval shows on Netflix, but I do not want to live that lifestyle.
No.
But,
but there, again, there's enough shows and, again, very creative minds about portals, you know, walking through a portal to another time period. And this, it fascinates me. And, again, it, I say keep an open mind. We have no idea. In fact, in Indian country, they talk about the Sasquatch being a multidimensional creature and that they go through portals. That's why they disappear so quickly. And I've known that since I was really young, where Indians would talk about this. I should say indigenous people, more correctly, politically correct term, that they're... three different species, and they talk about one's the meat eater, one is not, it's vegetarian, but there's different species of Sasquatch, and that they would just walk through a portal in a tree or between the trees and poof, you know, to another space-time. I don't know, because they've seen them just vanish. And I've talked to many people who've been up close and personal with the Sasquatch. So I don't know. I've tried to look for them and can't find them. But know, and I live in Sasquatch country, so I don't know. But yeah. I don't question. These are very sane people, and I don't question at all what they've, what they, you know, their testimonials are.
Well, the universe is vast and unknowable, and with infinite diversity and infinite time, you have infinite possibility. Which time itself is, you know, let's talk about the cyclical nature of time. The fact that, you know, maybe there's the idea that the universe had a big bang and it will expand. Eventually it will begin to contract and on itself again and become a singularity once more. And it's the notion that, you know, perhaps all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again. And
different expressions of the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I agree. Next week, it, just kind of to follow with this a little bit, next week we're going to talk about ghosts and goblins and creepy things.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, it's pre-Halloween program. By the way, anybody would like a cards pull tonight, please put your name in the chat. This time that we have together goes so quickly. I look at the clock and I go, wow, here we go again. Because I honestly can talk about this, you know, forever. Even, I think, Wendy says, oh, we need 4 hours for this program. So, anyway, we're going to talk next week about more of the paranormal. So it'll be a fun program.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time.
I know you won't be able to see me, but I'll be wearing my witch hat. Well, and you could see me, Michael, but the guests can't.
So. We'll have to post pictures or something like that. But then again, I have... Hold on. I've actually never dressed up for Halloween in my life. That just occurred to me.
No.
Yeah, well, you know,
Michael.
I well, it's you know, I and you know, this will be to any of our longtime listeners, you know that you know, my father and I were originally Jehovah's Witnesses. They do not celebrate Halloween. In fact, I remember, and this is so funny looking back on it. I remember, you know, the lights being turned off and trying to, like, you know, all right, we don't want to let anybody think that there's anybody home because we don't have to deal with the trick or treaters because, you know, it's a holiday that we don't celebrate. But yeah, I never went trick or treating. By the time I wasn't a witness, I was, you know, a teenager. So it was kind of past that time. And then I would go to Halloween parties, but I never actually once dressed up.
Oh, it's my fun time. It's my birthday coming up this Sunday. Yes, happy birthday to me.
Well, happy
Absolutely.
birthday.
Thank you very much. 65. Yikes. So we're carving pumpkins on Saturday. We do this every year with the grandkids, and we get all these really great stencils off the net, Google, and make really crazy pumpkins and dress up the house. And every year now, I sit out in the kids' front porch. Well, now they all know, of course, kids just know, oh, that's Amaya's grandma. She's not scary. So they know me by now. So it's very fun. I like doing up the makeup and the hat and the hair and the cape, and it's just fun. So and I love the Night of the Dead. Oh, and Dr. Steven says his birthday's on the 31st. I am so jealous. I
That's
always say I missed Halloween. Just a few days before Halloween, man. Oh, you're lucky. The Night of the Dead. I like it.
It has very spooky connotations, you know. Maybe be interesting if you were born on Halloween and you could commune with the dead. And you know, we all understand that Halloween is the time for special things to happen because we've all seen Hocus Pocus. It's a classic.
I love that movie. I love that.
That's fantastic. And I actually just happened to catch a little bit of it the other day, and it brought back tons of memories from watching it way back when. But Halloween's going to be a good time. We're going to have a great discussion next week. It's going to be a fun time. And it's gotten to that part of the evening where it's time for some cards. And I think we have a few people that are already lined up. And
Yeah, well, Jamil is off to start, I think, if I have this. Now, before we go too far, Dr. Edward, your birthday was last Sunday. He hit the big 6-0. He says
Oh,
he's
well, happy
grown up
birthday.
now. Oh, I hope you're not too grown up. That would be boring. But
Well,
happy birthday, Dr. Edward. So
maybe
I had to throw that in before we get started.
by the time I'm 60, I'll be grown up. You know, I think I'm just a, you know, I'm going to say young middle-aged man-child at this point.
Well, by the time you're 60, I'll be dead, so it's all right. I'll haunt you. How's that? I'll stop in and
Well,
give you a birthday
that's kind of
card.
bittersweet because on the one hand, you'd be haunting me. I'd see like definitive ghosts, and it'd be kind of a, we could have fun pranking some people. But on the other hand, how do you know that you're not going to be the first person to live to 150? You haven't even considered that possibility.
I don't want to. Please, I don't want
That's funny. But
to.
all
Oh,
right,
well. Okay, what have you got for Jamil?
I have number 36, gratitude.
Oh, I like it.
Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely, without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Well, I got the chariot for you in support of that, Jamil. And it seems to me we pulled the chariot not too long ago. Can't remember for who. It's gratitude in the chariot as you're moving forward. Yeah, he just said gratitude's a great card for you. It is, Jamil, because you're, in the last, let's say the last 6 months or so, I feel like your heart is lighter. And of course, gratitude is all a part of that. But you're moving forward in your life in a way more balanced way. So I think this is the cosmic's way of saying you got it. Like you connected something, you got this. And in this new time that you're in, you're moving forward with grace. So I love that affirmation, you know, you're on the right track. So I think Dr. Edward is next.
Yeah, and let's see. Dr. Edward, if we're going to have another repeat tonight, or? Wild card number three, blocks.
Oh,
I think that might be a new one. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like a free-falling, when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
Well, this has everything to do with money. I tell you that right now, Edward. The Page of Pentacles is in support of blocks. And it is, if you're in review of finance, review of value for value, and kind of assessing where you are financially, economically, have faith, because it's just looking at things differently and being a little bit creative. And what you need, okay, the message that comes to my mind here is just accessing the right key. So you'll be looking in the proper direction or the right direction, and you'll start to get that extra return. So I don't know, I hope that makes sense to you, but that's what I'm getting, that finances are going to begin to be a little better for you. So if there's been stress before, it's going to ease up. Good news.
Very nice. That's always what you like to hear.
Oh, I know. Yes, for sure. What do you got for Wendy, our Madam Cook, our resident cook?
Now, if I recall, I think the last couple of broadcasts that we had, in, I hope I'm remembering this correctly, Wendy, I think, got Don't Hate twice in a row.
Mm.
So I'm shuffling pretty well right now. I'm just shuffling, and it's not Don't Hate. It's number 28, Do No Harm, Do Right.
Ah, there we go.
Do No Harm, Do Right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, I think you've been doing well with this, Wendy, in previous weeks of challenge and, you know, some, let's just call them challenges. This is the Five of Clubs, and I love that. It's, to me, that's that after the difficulty, having risen to the challenge, it's being able to celebrate for a moment. It's like you kind of got your point across and you rose above the difficulty to make a better flow of energy. And I'm going to say specifically in the workplace, I think, and that things are easing up now. So, good. I'm really glad to hear that, because it seems to me you're having some issues with authority figures. You're not having issues. The authority figures have issues, and you have to deal with those issues. So That's kind of how that goes. So Wendy said, yes, Dr. Vicky. All right, thanks for that, Wendy. I think things are going a little smoother for you, and, you know, it's lighter, a lighter energy on the way. So that's awesome. Okay, what have you got for Audra, Michael?
All right. And Audra, I don't know if we touched on this. I think it was Audra's birthday last week as well. So
happy birthday, Audra.
Yeah, happy belated birthday.
Yeah.
And let's see. Wild card number six, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This card can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Well, now, you know, we had for Wendy the Five of Clubs, and I pulled the Five of Spades for you, Audra. Now, the Five of Swords or Five of Spades, one of two ways. It can mean that you feel others are making away with what belongs to you, or you're certainly walking away with more than you anticipated. And it can go either way. So I'm going to say a situation is at hand to just be true to your own energy, be true to who you are, and let fairness and equitability just, you know, take its way. And I think that you'll be satisfied to, you know, kind of walk away with more than you expected. So it's really about managing a situation at the moment. So it's not in a negative by any stretch. It's kind of like that heads up that you're in control here. Like, you've got this. So I'm going to say just be true to you. Be true to your frequency of energy. And if you feel like you're in a stressful situation, take a breath. Think yellow around the solar plexus, you know. That's where, you know, we get everything in the gut first and then take a breath and it calms the body down and it'll go better than you expect. So, you're okay. It's going to be all right. Okay. So I would like to add, unless you see any other names, Michael, because there's several birthdays here in the Cycles of Life by H. Spencer Lewis, that 52 days prior to the birthday is what they call the devolution, you know, the winding down time. So your birthday is that full moon. And then, oh, Audra said that's applicable to what's been going on. Thanks for that feedback, Audra. But the 52 days after the birthday, people, listen up, is really good for PR. So this is when it's your time to present yourself in any ideas, present yourself if you have to go to the bank, you know, it's a better time. If you want to start new projects, new ideas, selling yourself, generally speaking. So it's a way better time. And you know, Wendy's saying full moon's on Halloween this year and the time changes. Yeah, I know. Oof, we're getting whammied. We get an extra hour of 2020. Oh, that's kind of funny, actually. But so I'm just saying for those people with birthdays, you know, wait for 2, 3, 4 days after the birthday and the energy really starts to shift. So, you know, it's going to be, it'll be awesome. You know, I'm really optimistic. Trust me. I mean, I do empathize with everybody going through difficult things these days. I truly do. Be hopeful. That's what I want to say. Send out good energy. Send out positive vibes. And do your best to stay as, you know, optimistic as you can, no matter how tough some days can be. And, you know, we're glad to do the show every Wednesday. Glad to be here, share some time. And next week will just be some fun. So if, tell your friends, whomever else, we're just going to have a lighthearted program next week.
Yeah, yeah. And just like tonight, you know, we definitively answered once and for all whether or not time travel exists and how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. I have Doc Brown coming by to get me the hell out of 2020 here pretty soon. And we're going to have a fun time. But next week, we're going to definitively answer exactly which ghosts are real, which are not, and where they come from. So you can look forward to that. No more questions. It'll be in all papers. But but no, it's going to be a good time. And we're going to have a good time with it. And, you know, one of the things I love about the live chat and those people that join us for the live recording of our broadcast is that we get that great interaction and things like Dr. Edward throwing in links for some great videos. So, you know, those listening to the archives, we appreciate you. But, yeah, we always encourage you to stop by and join us. It makes it more enjoyable for us, and that's really all I care about. So,
It makes it more enjoyable for everybody. It we does. Can connect and get to know each other. And I know people come on when they can. You know, everybody's got a busy life. And I know Jamil had said earlier he's been listening to past shows, you know, because he's only, you know, recently joined us in the last number of weeks. And so glad to have you here, Jamil.
Absolutely.
And
you
know, for those who cannot make it, we're not meaning to put pressure, but those programs are there so you can have a listen, you know, at your leisure.
Absolutely. No pressure, but just remember, you're going to make us very sad if you don't join. So, but no guilt. No guilt. That's not how...
No.
No, but...
Oh, and can we just throw this in? Wendy has a new cooking page.
Ah.
She just put it in the chat, facebook.me/lovefoodmagic. fb.me/lovefoodmagic. So I like the page today.
I think we have to start promoting a Food Network TV show for Wendy. You're coming up soon.
I think so. Anyway, we have people from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, and we so appreciate you. Everybody's interesting, you know. Everybody's got a story, and I find that really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you.
I guess till next time, eh, Michael?
Yeah, until next time. You know, thank you, Dr. Hunter, for joining me for another great conversation. Looking
thank
forward
you.
To next week. We're going to have some great topics in the weeks ahead. The week after next, we're going to have Dr. Kelly back. And, you know, we're just going to keep going. And thank you all for joining us, being part of this community of the curious. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.